Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
August 16, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar, and this is the show you were looking for. How do I know that? Because you found it. Anyway, the O'Chelly Effect, and we are live on a Tuesday, second broadcast day of the week, because I actually did one last night. I haven't been doing Mondays lately, but I did one, and I'll be releasing the podcast later tonight, probably. Last week, on this Tuesday show, you know, I've got Christy Aphrodite with me every Tuesday, and I'm so glad that I do. But last week, I got to tell you, it was a total disaster, and it wasn't her fault. It was just electronic interference from all directions.
Yeah, not this time, right?
So far, we seem to be fully connected and functional. Okay, looks like we're okay. And I had the people come out and check on stuff, and I had everything redone and literally took and, well, I uninstalled all my software and reinstalled it, okay, just to get all the glitches out of the way. And mystery editor, Editor X, came in and took the sound file, what there was of it, from last week, and we even created a podcast out of it, so... There you go. I took that and I ran it on the stream, and then I added a few things to it, and boom. It's a podcast. It came out like, I think, Sunday, almost, you know, a week after we actually recorded it. But what are you going to do? It is what it is. It's a strange sounding thing, and we were doing a lot of strange discussions. But before I forget, ChristyAphrodite.com, go there. MyTrueEssence.net, go there. Hey, you might even hear a commercial for it during this show. Alright, or other shows on the network. Anyways, is what it is. Christy, how you doing? And what in the hell are we going to do with tonight's show? Except I do know we're going to take calls. 319-527-5016. That's right, you can call in. 319-527-5016, but only if it is the 16th day, right? Yes, 16th day of August, okay, a little bit after 8 p.m. Eastern, that's when you're hearing me live say this. 319-527-5016. Any other time, you're hearing a recording, so there you go. But you can join in. What are we doing tonight, Christy? What do you think?
Am I allowed to even speak?
Yes!
It's crazy. We're talking about dandelions and droughts, and then all of a sudden we start talking about things that people want us to believe are not real. And then I'm like back in the old Soul Journeys and Truth Brigade radio days where every single thing I say gets cut off. You know, it's like, that's why I quit talking about it. So I don't know what's going to happen in 2022 here on August 16th. Are we allowed to talk about those topics, or do we have to be good little girls and boys?
Well, I say let's go for it and find out, because by all accounts, this should be straight, okay? Everything is supposed to be working. Everything appears to be working. We're not being disrupted. I don't know what will happen if somebody calls in, but we'll find out if they do.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy, because like in my radio days, I wouldn't talk to the guest about the topic ahead of time because I wanted it to be fresh and clean and natural and on the spot, right? Mm-hmm. And like genuine, sincere, you know, and elementary questions too, right? And then, you know, like we were getting into stuff, and when I listened to the archive, I noticed everything supernatural, or what it, like, none of the meat was there. Like, all the meat was erased. And it's like, I don't even know, like, it's crazy. So I'm just going to answer questions. I'm going to be a good little girl, and I'll go anywhere you want me to. There's, like, things that we tried to talk about, and then can we talk about them again in a coherent manner? Or, you know what I'm saying? So I just vote for going with the flow, whatever you want, and I hope we can do this.
All right. Well, let's try and rock this and see what happens. That's all I got for you. And I'll put it this way. we talked a lot about the physical natural solutions in earlier shows. We certainly talked about being respectful and to the earth and to the things which you are harvesting and to the things which you are utilizing, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. In conjunction with that, there are other elements to this. And again, people talk Absolutely. About manifestation and they talk about what it is you attract. And there's a lot of catchy sort of new agey things out there where people try to describe some of this stuff and talk about how your intent will literally change the form of something physical, will literally change a result. I've talked about it several times on the show about how water, the ice crystals can be formed differently depending on your attitude when you're handling water even. Things like this. How do we put that together? Let's put those two things together tonight. How about that? We'll start there. Your intent, your desire. And here's a funny thing, guys. You're saying to yourself, look, I don't mix medicine. I don't do that. Okay. But you do cook food. Guess what
it's
you're
the
doing?
Same thing. Right. Okay. Everything you do or touch with the, like if you look at your hands like a magic wand, look, here's the thing I may have mentioned before that all those movies and things are written about us. So, whatever you think about Harry Potter or not, or what, I don't care. It's real. It's true. They even give real herbal recipes there, real actual, practice spells. And so if you look at that, everything you touch with your hands are your magic wand. So cooking, I'm mm-hmm. so glad you brought that up because two people can cook the exact same recipe, but if they're not putting the same love into it, it's not going to taste the same.
See, and
right?
that's the weird thing, right? We've always heard, and I've always heard this, that why does this taste different? Why is this better? Well, somebody made it with love. Now, it sounds like a silly romantic notion, and you're told, look, that's just, your idealism bleeding through. But no. There is a difference in intent when somebody is cooking food. Now,
yes.
You go to a restaurant, they're preparing food for a stranger, and indeed there are some skillful chefs who know how to blend things together, how to actually work the chemistry of cooking, because cooking is chemistry as well, and chemistry is cooking. Okay?
Yes.
And these things are all together, and by the way, it's all magic. Anyway.
Baking is science. Yes, absolutely. The yeast rising. Hello,
You got it. Well, no, it's science, yeah. It's magic, it's chemistry.
And magic is science,
right? Right.
Yeah, so look, here's the thing. I've already discussed about, the herb thing, and so this is a perfect example to what you're saying. Now, if I can nurture every leaf with love and make medicine that heals some of the things that you have in no time, that's a leaf, dude. Mm-hmm. If you can do that same thing with food or grandma's chicken soup or whatever, right? Call it a placebo or whatever you want. That proves right there that you can do even beyond that, right?
Right.
So is it the leaf? Is it the rock? Is it the crystal? Is it the candle? Is it or is it you? Are you the one that has had the power all along, and that these tools merely things to help people gain confidence and in some most cases still put the power outside themselves, right? Like the cards know what's up, but I don't know shit. It's like, wait a minute. Those cards are nothing but props. The information, whatever, is there and it's in you. So we have to work on gaining confidence in our skills and our intuition, and just like you said, all of these health related topics, whether they're physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, they go hand in hand. We can't, if we want to be wholly healthy, whole in our fullness, we can't just look at one and ignore the other.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And there's people that spend their whole day on their bodies. but nothing about their emotional, mental, or spiritual health. Or those that, you know, are practicing spiritual health every day, but do nothing about their body, or, you know, vice versa. Like, we do that. So if we can integrate all of these working together as the perfectly well-designed, I don't know, for lack of a better word, machine or mechanism or whatever it is, whatever we are, then I think it's pretty safe to say we have some power or some influence, I'll say, over the outcome of our present conditions at any given time. In fact, we literally, whoever we are, wherever we are, what we are today is a culmination of every thought and action we've ever done in our life. Mm-hmm. And what's cool about that, if we self-reflect and we choose that, I guess I want to take responsibility and I'm not that happy with that part, so I'm going to work on that a little bit more. It doesn't matter if it's emotional, spiritual, physical, or whatever. Like, we know, science knows the body, all the organs, regenerates itself in 7 years, right? If it took you 50 years to get sick, what's seven? And if it took you 50 years to get, you know, indoctrinated, or 30 or 20 or whatever, you know, we just work our way out of that in the discovery of who we are in this crazy school called life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and look, I talked about the art of cooking and creation, but there's also the art of receiving, because this is going to sound like
you suck at that, Chuck. Yeah. I'm going to call you out, because I called you out last week and I was here this weekend. And okay, so now teach me about the art of receiving.
Okay, well, that's fine. I knew it was coming. The thing is, I was going to talk to you on Sunday, and then I didn't see you around, and then you came around later. And by then, to be honest with you, I keep falling asleep. And I'm falling asleep when I don't want to. Like, I'm having one of those, you know, anytime I sit still, I fall asleep time periods here. And it's directly relatable to some problem I'm having with my skin, which is really super unusual for me. Anyway, I'll get into my problem
later.
Sounds
like we're going to need some pictures, and you're going to have to make time to make yourself a priority and, like, practice this R word you just brought up.
Yes, and I did actually...
Teach us. Yeah. Teach us all about it.
Well, I did actually consult... I ended up inadvertently consulting somebody else about it because somebody made me. And, you know, colloidal silver is definitely part of what's going to have to go on here. But I'm not used to having problems with my skin at all.
Did you see that picture I sent you last night? Come on.
Yes, no, I know. But I'm not used to that. See, I have really, really... I have the kind of skin that I should be scarred, like, really badly in a lot of places, and I heal exceptionally well by doing nothing. It just...
So you're a reptile, you're saying.
Well, kind of. And...
That's okay. I grew my finger back, so whatever.
No, it's okay. You know, we all have...
I just want people to talk, because they're listening.
We all have a little reptilian in our brains, don't we? Anyways, let's not go there. My skin, though, generally, I mean, I've been stabbed, I've been shot, I've been burned. And quite frankly, you look at the parts of my body where there should be a profound scar, you don't see them. You have to actually press on me to feel where something has been taken out of me, like, oh, okay, there's been a divot here. Okay, like, it really, I have excellent skin that way. Did not heal and is not healing now, on my arms and things. So, that's a new problem, and I'm kind of just not sure what to do with it, honestly. So we'll talk about it privately. Let's get back to the receiving end of things, and I wanted to give the easy demonstration.
Sorry.
And I'm not the easy demonstration, because I hate asking. I don't mind helping. I hate asking for help. I really do. I don't know what that is about me. I'm just...
Huh? You didn't. I said, dude, tell me what you need. Tell me what, you know.
I know, but
you didn't ask. I did.
I know, but I'm one of the. I just say to myself, you know what? She's got so many people that I know she needs to help.
You're right. I'm totally busy. That's why I'm not going to fight you. People who don't want my help, they don't have to have it because I'm, you know. But really, that's just dumb. I mean, if you like being sick all the time, that's cool. But when you're done, you know where to find me.
Well, that's what's going to happen here.
Okay.
I'm trying to deal with it.
When you're done playing games, then
that's exactly what'll happen. Just like, you know, in the past, when you and I have done this back and forth already. So anyway,
it's fun though.
It is fun.
Come on.
It is fun. I think this is what keeps our friendship interesting. Anyway,
Well, because I could beat you up and love you at the same time. Like, and really, honestly, you know what? If your friends aren't calling you out or helping you to be a better person, then they're not your fucking friends. So,
exactly.
You know? And, like, I rely on Chuck and my real friends to tell me the truth and if I'm being a jerk or... And you know what? My friends do. Like, sometimes I say dumb things and, like, it sounded one way in my head, but, you know, different in real life. And... You know, they keep me in check. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and thank you all for that, because really, if you weren't helping me be better, then you're not helping me be better, which means you're helping me be worse, and that's just not good enough for me.
Right. No, and I appreciate all that. But about receiving, the thing is, again, I'm bad at it, but here's a good example of how this works well.
Kitties agree.
Cool. You ever notice that if, okay, you're going to love this. Cup of coffee, right? I don't know. Are you still drinking coffee?
Dude, let me tell you what I'm drinking right now because it'll change your life.
Sure.
I'm drinking what I call a mason jar mocha.
Okay.
And I make that with my really strong, delicious, fresh ground, fair trade organic coffee. Heavy cream, real cocoa, and honey, and I put it in a mason jar and shake it up, and it gets all bubbly, frothy, and creamy, and it's delish. So I just got home, like, a little bit before the show, and I had some of that in the fridge left over from this morning. So,
nice.
Yep, I love coffee.
That sounds good. But here's the thing. Now, I know you made that yourself, and that's wonderful, but if somebody you really like makes you the same thing, and I do mean with the same ingredients, you might discover it tastes a little better. You might discover you enjoy it a little more.
Yeah. Now, if I had somebody that cared if I had a meal.
Well, what can I say? I don't live near enough to you. If I did, though,
right.
I would make you
but
meal.
But people do, you know.
No, yeah. I got you. But what I'm saying is... And I'll use Kim as the example. I'll make her a cup of coffee, and for no reason at all, she says it tastes way better when I make it for her.
And she made it with love.
And she says, well, you know, what did you put in there? And this is all I put in there, the same, you know, milk and sugar and what, you know, this is the coffee that you used. This is the dairy product you used. I used the same things you did. Well, okay, why is it better? See, it's the intent. It's the reception. It's not even
necessarily... It's the magic ingredient, love.
Well, but it's that, and it's also her receiving it that way.
Ah, true.
You see, it's two things, right? So that's the point I was trying to make, is about reception. Of course, it's difficult for somebody like me who often is resistant when it comes to reception. This is true. And Christy called me out on it, but
that is... Because I'm a jerk.
Not at all. Because you're what did you say? Helping me be better, which means you're not helping me get worse. So, thank you. Anyway, but there is something to that as well, right? It is in how you receive things, not in just how you put things out. Because some people will overdo it. They'll put things out. They'll give... Because, yes, indeed, giving is a great thing to do. Some people do it to satisfy themselves. Some people do it because it is a part of their responsibility. But you know what? You also have to receive some things. Okay? So there is a way of receiving something. If you take something, you know, what's the old standby phrase? If you take something for granted, right? It's just, it's always granted. It's always there. If you just take it as it's commonplace and you don't think of it in an exceptional way at all, people get irritated at you for that, don't they? Well, you're just taking me for granted. You're taking this for granted. Well, that means that you didn't put any consideration or any energy into your reception of something as well. And isn't that what it's about? Because that mental energy, that spiritual energy, that emotional energy, it doesn't just disappear into the ether. It actually does get transferred. Now, I'm not saying that massive, huge amounts of transfer happen all the time, but small ones happen on a daily, minute-by-minute basis in your life for positive and negative results.
Yes.
True or false?
Absolutely.
Okay. So,
and yeah, people can also choose to not receive that magical loving energy that you put in your coffee or cream or just the ear and shoulder that you offered, right?
Right.
So just because you're offering that, yeah, I mean, we have a choice on which to tune into. In fact, it's funny that you're bringing this up, Chuck, because there literally was an instant right before the show. Like, literally. In fact, somebody's in the chat who was a witness and saw it way before I did. And it was like that exact same thing. Like, how many times do you offer your gifts before you realize that they don't want to receive it?
Well, there you have it. Okay, now I don't know what the circumstance was, but either way, there's something to be considered there as well, because look, there's a reaction to the action, right?
Yeah, so, and you should save your magic for people who do appreciate it.
There you go.
Right? Like, I mean, what do they say? Don't cast your pearls before swine. It doesn't mean that somebody's less than you. It just, we're all in different classes and different, say, planes of existence, or what, even though we're all existing here on what we call Earth, allegedly, simultaneously, okay, but we, like, I can be in the same room and be the happiest person on Earth in paradise, and somebody else could be sitting here and literally be in hell. In the same place, right?
Right.
So, there, I think just that in itself proves that we can choose what to receive, what to give, and all of these things create the, say, frequency or plane of existence or whatever we're existing in or manifesting or not manifesting in. But the truth is, we're always manifesting something. So are we manifesting what we want or what we need? And I say it like that because when we're not right with ourselves, our desires, who we truly are, listening to ourselves, if we're racking discipline, you know, then we get what we need, which hurts sometimes, right? Look at my last 13 years. It wasn't fun, you know, because
right,
some of us like to learn the hard way. But yeah, when I realized the enormity really of my own fears and my own insecurities and my own judgments, that it was me punishing me, not God punishing me, not you punishing me. It wasn't the government punishing me. It wasn't the stalkers punishing me. It was me punishing me. And when I decided I had enough, right, mm-hmm, I was able to change that. Nothing else changed. You know what I mean? And what's so sad about it is that people thought, like, oh my gosh, she's not homeless anymore. She must be sucking a CIA dick. Or it's like, really, you have that little faith in yourself and overcoming your prison that nobody else can, you know? Mm. So we do on, I don't want to say that we have the power to create everything with our mind, because I think a lot of that is hokey, honestly. But I do, I have experiential evidence that proves we do have the power to bring things about. And I mean, there's like little things from, say, being on the road and having to pick up someone else and their dog and not having enough supplies and tools and things for the extra people, and just staring at the moon and giving thanks and saying, wow, I really wish we had suitcases. And then the next morning, meet someone that offers us brand new suitcases because their house was just flooded and the insurance is replacing everything anyways. Like, you know, things like little like that to, well, here I'm sitting at the Ozarks Church of Nature, you know? Yeah, so I think more importantly, if we're going to tap into these gifts that we have to pay attention of our total health, our discipline, our true desires, not what society wants or what we're told or what we think looks good or what we think makes us look cool or pretty or all these things that people chase, right? Mm-hmm. Approval. If we really learned, like, self-love, the end result is absolutely finding out who and what and how powerful you really are. And then the supernatural discussions we weren't allowed to discuss, you know, it would just be everyday talk instead of talking about the weather, right?
Well, fair enough, but let's not forget that the weather, see, we take in all things that we're exposed to as well, right? So the weather, the people that you choose to put around you one way or another, the circumstances which you create one way or another, sometimes through inaction, other times through actions.
Yes.
All of these things will eventually culminate, though, in a circumstance that, for the most part, you have created yourself. See, I noted you didn't blame, you know, like God hates me. Kind of situation, and I've been in that position where it's just like,
I did my first, you know, 20 years, Chuck. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not perfect at this. I made every single mistake everyone else has, I promise you. And maybe,
yeah, no, I got it.
I did.
I'm there too.
I blamed God, I blamed everybody but me,
right? And look, in some ways, you could say that indeed, you know, circumstances did converge against you, but generally speaking, this is a little rough to take in sometimes, but most times when you find yourself in a spot where, you know, this is not the way you wanted things, if you take a look at it, you probably moved the pieces in such a way that this was the inevitable conclusion. So always, yeah, you have to be mindful of that. Now, that doesn't mean beat yourself up over it either. It just means take hold of the game.
And, right? Okay, because I also want to say this. This isn't to blame yourself or anything like that, like we do, because also some circumstances, it isn't just because you brought it on because you were ignorant and you thought terrible thoughts or whatever, even though a lot of times it is, most of the, you know, but sometimes it's our path. So for us to really get back to where whatever agreement we may have or may not have made before we came here, or whatever it is we're supposed to learn, whether you look at it from an astrological standpoint or a life path or whatever, however many, you know, thought processes there are, like, these are it's our school. Mm-hmm. And not all of the teachers are Mr. Rogers. They're not all cool and sweet little grandmas that want to pat you on the back and give you a gold star. Mm-hmm. Right? So you know what I'm saying? So just because you're at the bottom or this and that, that is no time to get into a self-blame. Like, if you literally did something that, oh, I really, then yeah, own it and move on. But accept the experiences where you are at, because it doesn't matter how many so-called mistakes we supposedly make, we are always exactly where we're supposed to be. And that's where the, do we want it, to look this way or that way. Like, at the end of the day, it's about the journey. And so, yeah, I'm at the place I saw as a child, but did it come like, you know, somebody, Ed McMahon, or some other Mandela Effect character or whatever, knock on my door and say, well, here it is? Or was there abracadabra? No. You know what I'm saying? It was tough stuff, tough school that I needed to get here. And I'm sure you can say the same, right? So, yeah, just because there's bad stuff doesn't necessarily mean that we created it because we're bad.
Right. Yeah, well, no, and I was talking to somebody that you and I both know, who I'm not going to name, about some of the earliest life lessons recently, and we were sharing common experience in that some of our teachers were not kindly there to teach us, but they right. did indeed instruct
us. But
they us. Were. Well, they weren't yeah. there kindly to do it. They were right. there to drag us through a little bit of hell to give us a tour. And that's what it was about. And it was kind of strange that like he never realized that I had that sort of background as well. And you know, kind of thought himself a little unique among those of us who do certain things. And it was like, oh wait, you actually have been through the same. Oh, so you understand that some of these bastards who want to kick you in the face are actually here to teach you something as well.
I just have to say, I can never give enough thanks for all of the people that tried to hurt me in every single any way. I am so grateful, and I am so I really am, because Chuck, if none of that would, let's say, Ed McMahon or whatever, it was all like rainbows, how would I even have the foundation to do what I do today? I wouldn't be healing people. I wouldn't have the knowledge I have. I wouldn't have the experience of already doing it on myself a million times first. I wouldn't, you know what I mean? How would I be able to help other people through these dark nights and such? So.
Right.
Every single thing that anyone tried to do ever in my life to hurt me completely backfired and turned me into the, like, unstoppable beast that they feared the most, right? Because
exactly.
Once you know your power and once you know who you are, nobody can ever take that away. And the dumb little games just slide right off you. Like, you can't affect me, you know?
Exactly.
You just can't.
Exactly. So, I'll tell you what we're going to do.
I'm in the zone. That's where I choose to live. And if you want to meet me there, I got plenty of space, but I ain't coming out of it for anyone.
There you go. And I'll tell you what, we're going to take a little break here. And because we've had a successful first segment, we're going to see what we can do in the next one. Maybe go a little deeper and find out if we get electronic interference again, because that would be remarkable. But let's hope not. Let's get into some other stuff that was inspired many weeks ago by Chris calling in and asking about, well, more esoteric type topics, let's call it. Anyway, stick around. Christy Aphrodite's with me. The Ocelli Effect will continue after this.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply. Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks, by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're tuned into the Ocelli Effect.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I put some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
But I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles sort of really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
Chili.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Get ready for the Chili Effect.
319-527-5016. If you're hearing us live, it's about 40 minutes after 8 p.m. Eastern on the 16th day of August. As we are live, but of course, if you're hearing this at another time, you're hearing a recording, a podcast, so you can't call in. 319-527-5016, that's the live call-in number, and we're gonna go a little deeper into the sort of out there end of topics with Christy Aphrodite. I don't know how many weeks we're going to do this because we might have to go back to talking about dandelions and stuff at some point. But all of it is valuable information. How about that? Anyway, Christy, during the break, interesting conversation. I'm going to hold that though. But anyway, let's talk about vampires for a second though. If you don't mind.
All right.
I think vampires are a really interesting topic. Of course, there is the, you know, typical sort of Hollywood Nosferatu and all that good stuff. Just like there's the Hollywood black magic and there's the Hollywood manifestation. You mentioned Harry Potter. I'm not saying that that's even evil or anything. I'm just saying that there are real things that are preserved in, fictional works, let's say. And vampires are one of them. There are people that I swear will suck the energy out of you, will suck the ideas out of you, they just suck. and not in a good way. They suck things out of you. And what about that? What about that existence? I could never be the parasite that I see others, I don't know, existing as. They're just intellectual, metaphysical, spiritual, psychological, emotional parasites. Vampire I said first, but now I'll say parasite, because sometimes they'll latch on, hold on, and do their best not to let go. I mean, they don't want to kill the host necessarily, but they do enjoy draining
right,
you.
Because they need the host to exist. Right?
Yeah. I mean, well, because otherwise they might have to originate their own energy, and that would be just too much. So, yeah, what about that? Yeah. I mean, what about that concept? Not the Hollywood.
I love that you said that, because I truly believe there's creator beings and there's destroyer beings. But just like, Chuck, in all fairness, somebody else in another country could be doing a show saying, can you believe those Americans eat cows? Or can you believe that, you know, dolphins play with their prey or cats before they eat them? And the fact of the matter is everyone has to eat, including vampires. And Hollywood, as you mentioned, has done the whole reality behind this topic. So when you say vampire or parasite, to me, they're the same thing,
right?
Because that's like ticks, fleas, chiggers, you know, they have to eat, right? So that's where we get into the choice and knowing ourselves. Are we going to allow ourselves to be food? And how this relates, again, to the physical is that so when people complain about internal parasites, right, like heavy meat diets or acidic diets, or, you know, your cats have tapeworm, or, you know, all of this stuff, like, that's honestly like a reflection of what's going on outside, and the same things will prevent it, right? So, like, for example, garlic, wormwood, sage, just off the top, right, will prevent those internal parasites. But in the real world, right, everybody's heard vampires don't like garlic. Why do they say that? And what about wormwood? How do you kill the vampires with the wormwood? What's up with that? Or oregano, or, you know what I'm saying? So the exact same, like, burning sage. And that's actually, there's articles in PubMed, like, backing the actual science behind it. Okay, if it's killing a physical parasite, it's killing a spiritual parasite, and at the same time. So let's say I've let some parasites in my life, and I used to play nice with vampires because I didn't know they were real, and I was trying to, you know, be nice and be, right? I treat everyone as if I want to be treated. And back then, I used to do that at my own detriment, even when I went against my own gut, because, say, they were friends with my best friend or whatever. And so I needed those experiences, one, to know they were real and how it worked and my role in it. And as somebody who used to always seek her daddy's attention or love or mommy or this or that, like, the love that I grew up with, I thought was normal. Mm-hmm. So that was what felt comfortable. So anytime somebody abused me, I equated that with love. So I had a long learning experience. So I realized that I'm the common denominator, and why am I trying to be nice to people who are trying to hurt me? Like, I knowingly, I thought that I could love them back to, you know. So we end our need or for schooling with vampires when we stop feeding them. Mm-hmm. And I know it's hard, and it literally is like a parasitic infection, right? It's no different than a candida or overgrowth that people physically have. It's the same terrible, horrible, autoimmune type feeling, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, there is not in all my years of holistic health coaching and helping people, there is not one single person I met with autoimmune that was not in a parasitic environment. Period. End of story. Or in a situation they didn't want to be in, but at the same time, they couldn't say no, or they do it for the children, or you know what I mean? All of these excuses. And really, it's because they were saying yes when they really meant no. Mm. And I did this, Chuck, and this is why I know what the dynamics are and how to end them. But vampires are necessary in our growth, right? I don't like it. I don't like them. I don't like ticks. I don't like fleas. I don't like anything that wants to suck my blood physically or spiritually. But I see their place and their purpose and how they helped me grow, because they're gonna keep sucking when we keep feeding them. And I even asked these questions in my homelessness about dependency as power. That's the question. And what I'm saying there is that us so-called little people, we're the ones with the skills. All these so-called people in power, parasites, vampires, etc., they need us. They need us to dump their kitty litter, wash their toilets, cook their food, make their medicine, light their fire, keep their septic. You know what I'm saying? So if we knew our power, dependency, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who are the most dependent people? It's the people that we keep giving our energy and dollars and time and attention to. So basically, everything in that system is vampiric. So just like the vampires in our life, our workplace, or wherever, they're going to exist until we say no and mean it.
Well, let's be specific about that for a second, right? You could find a vampiric character in your work situation. You could find a vampiric character in your romantic situations. You could find a vampiric character in your family dynamic on any level. You could find a vampiric character, and I've seen this, where friendships are really, you know, alleged friendships, I should say, are actually just based on this power dynamic where somebody is dependent upon somebody else for one reason or another. And the person who realizes this, even, that they are the one who is the host for the parasite, will quite often have sympathy. Now, I don't think they should be faulted for having sympathy for the parasite. I really don't. Sympathy is one thing.
No, it's not a fault. It's just part of our growth to get past that.
But there it is.
It's a test.
So you have to get past that, and what have I always advised somebody to do? Like, sometimes I think it's you can't see it, and quite frankly, if you're standing outside of a situation, sometimes certain things are easier to see than when you're inside. So I don't even necessarily like say, okay, well, you're just dumb because you don't see that this is this way. No, I don't want to pass that kind of judgment.
When you're being sucked on, you're literally being drained. You're life force. This is factual. That's why they don't want us to read the secret teachings of the ages and all of this. And even the people that are like, you know, demonizing all of the so-called secret societies or symbols or this and that, that's not even the original intent. Like, the truth is there, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, so no, you're not at fault. If that's how it came out, that's not what I meant to say.
Oh, no.
But
I didn't say
you
have
the power to end it.
I'm saying the common way to combat that. A lot of people that, you know, try and give advice, you know, listen, you need to combat this situation, and they do. Will often say, you know, the first problem is you got to stop having sympathy. What you got to do is the most practical thing, which is, in my mind, see, here we go with the garlic again. Why does garlic work so well? Why do a lot of these things work so well? Because suddenly, you're not as tasty, okay? If you add certain things into your system.
And what does the word nice mean? Nietzsche, you know? That we're trying to play nice with vampires and slave masters and owners or whatever, you know, the so-called ruling class or whatever, or coworkers or bosses or whatever, for what? Mm-hmm. At the expense of your soul? You know, like, we have to be the ones to cut it off no matter what the cost. And I've done that. You asked for real life examples. I've left jobs. I've left homes. I got 6.5 years of homelessness to prove it. I lived in a barn. I lived in a van. I lived in a tent. Why? Because I was done with frickin' psychopaths and people trying to own me and falling for their lures. And you know what I'm saying? But again, I needed it and I'm grateful. I didn't like it. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. And, you know, they have to live. It's part of our training.
Right. Now, what I'm doing at this very moment is putting the etymologyonline.com word link for the word nice into the chat room.
Thank you.
And I wanted to add that to what you were saying.
Ignorant.
Well, let's,
you know, I'm not that anymore.
Well, let's read from, okay, I like Etymology Online. I know you gotta love.
You're much nicer than me, Chuck.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much.
Just kidding.
I know. It's okay. Look, but I love this website. I really do. Etymologyonline.com is a great resource for you to understand the language you're using all the time, okay? So let's look at it. Let's see, late 13th century, okay? Let's see, and quote, foolish, ignorant, okay, frivolous,
senseless, careless, clumsy, weak, poor, needy, simple, stupid, silly, foolish. I mean, ignorant, unaware, literally not knowing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's what the word nice actually means.
And okay. If we can be deceived with a word like that, what else are they deceiving us with, right?
Right.
With their prayers or their mantras or their meditations or, you know? And so that's why I'm a big supporter of listening to yourself.
Well, there you have it. And, you know, you also said something that stuck out a little earlier. You said, I know what it is to not listen to my gut. So why don't you break that down for a second? Because here's the thing. I have never known a situation where I was in a long-term circumstance where there was a vampiric character who kept drawing on me heavily, where I didn't end up with gut issues, like literal gut issues, all kinds of gut issues I would get every time there is a vampiric character drawing on me. Notice how I keep repeating that. And heavily, it has often caused what? Stomach upset, digestive issues, problems with the bowels, literally. Is there any strange coincidence to that, Christy? What do you think?
Could be headaches, could be dead pets, could be weird accidents, all sorts of things. So I essentially want to say, although Men Who Stare at Goats was a horrible movie and how they tried to flip it was bogus, but it's true. So there are people that literally sit around sending purposefully black magic to hurt other people, drain their life force and such. And I chuckled when you were saying that because I'm just kind of guessing you might want me to talk about like an actual situation in my real life.
If you would like, of course, obviously, your free will is in play, so.
So, I mean, if it'll help people, I will. And by the way, on ChristyAphrodite.com, if you just go there and you put in the search box cyber and click on the first link, and you'll see all sorts of crazy stuff you wish you didn't see. But if you want to know the truth about certain people and how this works and to what lengths they'll go to, I would highly encourage reading that for the gory details. That being said, I have had a long-term vampiric relationship, so to speak. And although I walked away, 2 months later in 2010, these particular vampires literally just cannot seem to exist without me. And it's 100% documented proof on my websites, my videos, my blogs, my fake books, my Instagram, even this show, Chuck, that after all these years, they're still following me around and listening to everything I do. And they regurgitate it in their own demonic ways and such. And you know, when I find out about this, it's actually sad. And I want to mention this because you mentioned feeling sorry for people. And I used to think that was the nice, right thing to do. But I realized that when I felt sorry for people, or how when people felt sorry for me, that they were basically had no faith in me being able to do it. And when I feel sorry for somebody, that doesn't mean not sharing their pain and their real struggle, but like really, like I pity you. That's, you know what I mean? I try to not do that because then in a sense, I'm taking their power away, right? Like who's to say that they can't, that this isn't their class and this is what's going to teach them how amazing they really are. So, but that being said, I do pity these people because what year are we in? We're 2020. So 12, 13, because it started in 2009. So 13 years of not being able to exist without me or my life or my content is truly sad. However, you cannot, anything you throw at somebody else, you're going to pay. And here's the sad fact of the matter. They've been sick and on drugs and in and out of surgeries over and over and over and over and over and over, like, and over, right? And it's just like, come on. And, you know, these people were literally on the radio laughing about me on the streets and drinking piss and, oh, you deserve it. And, you know, and had a hand in it. But if you look back, the one that was erased was telling you the truth, who these vampires gave me an opportunity to prove it was true through my actions, through their sabotage and the network and all, you know, being killed, literally, poison, you know? So, shot at, like, you know? So, I am truly grateful, and even though I don't want to feel sorry for people, I actually do for them because, I mean, get a life, really. They wish they could be me, I get that, but you're not going to be me by erasing me and then rewriting the story and, you know, acting like all you have to do to save the world is take a bunch of fucking drugs in illegal places? Come on, man. If people are telling you the only way that you can know truth and see reality or anything is drugs, then they're lying to you. And when it comes to drugs, I'm not saying all drugs are bad, okay, all the time. Yeah. But if you are dependent on anything, anytime, and that's the only way you can supposedly tap in, first of all, it doesn't make you superior. It makes you somebody who did drugs. Great. Awesome. But it's not the only way. And to do it every single day, there's a reason that LSD and all these things were promoted in the 60s and 70s. You know, the CIA, hello, they have always promoted them. And yes, certain drugs can help people with big things used with respect and moderation and understanding. But chasing a high and making things like debauchery and gluttonism and laziness and sitting on your ass acting like a rock star telling people these crazy stories and you saved us? You saved us? Because you pushed a button in a drug-induced stupor and that's all you can talk about for 4 years minus what I have to say? Like, look, you are consumed by what you eat. So I don't care that these vampires still want to have a relationship with me. I think it's comical. I think it's hilarious. And I think it's really, really sad because honestly, everyone has talent. Everyone has purpose. Everyone has skills and they are no different. And if they were actually focusing on their skills, the world would be a better place. But we're all too busy trying to be rock stars and trying to steal content from other people. I'm not the only one they steal content from, by the way. Right. But I will just say every single thing I have ever done, they have tried to redo, but turn it around in a dependent manner, right? They still want you dependent on the bees. They're still promoting the bees. They're still, you know, don't worry about that. You don't, you know, just go out and party and have fun. You know, what else is this life? You know, whatever. So they don't affect me in any way. I think it's hilarious that I'm that important. Still, and nothing they do or anyone is ever going to stop me from my goals, and anything that anyone ever does just bounces right back off of me and hits them tenfold, and I just fly higher. And that's facts, like the cream rising to the top. It's just the way it is, and this is evidence backed. So vampires need to understand when you're dependent on your food for existence, you might want to make sure that you respect the food, right? Just like, you know, whatever you eat, guinea pigs, grasshoppers, humans, blood, gee. I don't support it, but then again, I signed up for this school, and I do believe that everything has its place, whether I like it or not.
Well, although some people, whether they realize it or not, are just plagiarizing off of the famous plagiarist Aleister Crowley, when it comes to a lot of their methodologies, okay,
right.
You know, it is profound to understand that you can be consumed by that which you consume. That is something you need to remember, again, if you're not partaking of it in a respectful manner. You know, and like I talked about the mushrooms on here a bunch of times, and who knows, maybe we'll get into that in the next segment. But maybe we'll get into deja vu, which was brought up in the chat room, and I'm not sure if we covered that well last week or not. But we can always revisit it. Christy Aphrodite's with me. The Ocelli Effect continues after this.
Chuck Ocelli at chili.com.
There's no money in it, so.
Yeah, that is
the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And, you know, some people would say that, look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but, quite frankly, I'm on that business model too, and, look, I'm not gonna complain, but I'm gonna complain. Okay, because people want to support you. They love you to death, but honestly.
So if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show. And I want you to do this, too, because, you know, the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, you know, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply. Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smells. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles started to really pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Chili.com.
Revelation through conversation.
So third segment for tonight, and I don't know if we'll have a fourth segment or we'll just run through the rest of the time. Christy Aphrodite is with me, and you know what? We haven't actually gotten a call this, which is funny, because everything's working, okay? So if you want to call in, 319-527-5016, it's like 11 and a half minutes past 9 p.m. Eastern, or let's see, I guess that's 8 p.m. Central. And, geez, what time is it in California? Do I care? Anyway, doesn't matter.
6:11 in California.
I know. I'm just screwing
around. Oh, that means it's 9:11 where you're at. Trip.
Yeah, 9:11. It is. Indeed.
Why is it always 9:11 when you look at the clock?
I don't know. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I really don't know. I talked about 9:11 last night. But with Andy Steele, and that was interesting. I'll be releasing that podcast later, but actually did a live show instead of recording the book last night. But don't worry, the book is still being recorded, everybody. As a matter of fact, I've got a huge amount of editing to do on the next release, and that'll come out soon. Anyways, back to it. Christy, we could get deep into some other things. Now, Deja Vu was mentioned in the chat room, and I know we covered it on one of the broken up kind of shows a bit about, you know, look, I know I've seen this before. I know I've experienced this before. It's probably because you have. We talked about dreams. We talked about being visited with information ahead of time. We talked about this kind of stuff. And I think we should just simply revisit the concept of, well, you know, the deja vu, if you will. The, yeah, I know that I've seen this before, heard this before, experienced this before. What about that?
I get that all the time, Chuck. Like, I don't know if I've divulged on this show before, but most of my life, when I wake up in the morning, I truly don't know where I am. And there are times in the day where, again, I can forget where I am. And in my days of brain damage and a couple years after that, like I had to think about that before I rolled out of bed. I know I'm not the only one that's this weird, but all this weird stuff has been a normal part of my life that I have lived and been led by. So I don't know how to explain it with the mind, right? Does it mean that we're in the right place? Does it mean that we're experiencing multiple places at the same time? I'm pretty sure last week, I don't know if it was when I got cut off, but I believe that. And the reason I believe that is because the deja vus, the dreams, like they've continued like a mini series since birth. Okay. Like I've grown old with these people over there in different spots. And I truly believe that we're, you know, over there, like laughing about some weird dream we had where we're talking to a computer to our friends about these kinds of things. And I shared that dream with where I literally was shot in the back and I physically paid for that. Mm. And then the exact same thing happened 3 weeks later. So I know this is normal. And I also know that we can, to a degree, decide how much we want to experience. And although, you know, every kid or whatever, I want to be a superhero, or, you know, even adults and want to, you know, but the truth is the more we know and the more experience we get, like, I'll tell you what, in my 20s, I was begging God to take away my gifts, okay? Like, they were off the hook, and everybody tried to buy me or own me because of them, and that was not fun. And so I purposefully, like, pill pop, drank, tried to make myself as ugly and fat as possible. Like, I didn't want to be gifted anymore. I shut off my creativity. Like, I literally, that was a life choice that I literally cried and begged God to take my gifts away. So, I mean, I think some of us are more predisposed than others. And honestly, I feel that although some can look at my path and think of it as harsh, it's been a blessing because I have a lot of experience relying on myself, right? Where other people don't. And so it's like old hat, kind of secondhand to me. I don't have to try to define it because I learned in the years I was trying to define it, I only pushed it away further. So I try to allow everything. I try to resist nothing. If I catch myself trying to, then I just ask not to, right? And that means in everything, things we like cutting off my finger. Like even that, I was like, oh, this. Like I had already experienced it in a different realm. So I didn't scream. I didn't cry. I didn't like try to resist it. I just quietly put my finger in my mouth and walked to the house and got a paper towel and, you know, went back to work. And, you know, I've had some deaths, friends and family and things. Maybe some owls that might have appeared.
Right.
Right.
Well,
ahead of time.
Let me ask you about this, because this is something that, maybe I'm a slow learner, but I only realized this recently, is that almost any time somebody brings up in personal conversations, which I have with not as many people as I used to, to be honest, but personal conversations I have with people like after the show or stuff like that, nearly anything they bring up that they're having trouble with, I've got some sort of past experience that I can reference to it, like,
right,
where it's like, look, I know this is going to sound crazy, but you know I've been there already. I don't know what that is, except that I collected a lot of experiences and didn't realize at the time that I was collecting a lot of sometimes harsh experiences, a lot of losses, a lot of profound, well, yeah, of course, I've been through this already. I have already done this dance.
So you're able to help that person, whoever, right? Like, what if that was the only reason you went through that, so that you could help somebody 10 or 5 or 20 or 100 years later, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the weird thing about it, is that that's how I've started to take it. And only in the past few years have I started to understand that a great deal of that stuff, which I just thought sucked at the time, I mean, it's just, and it did. It sucked. And not like a vampire, but like in a way of like, I cannot believe I'm in this situation. I can't believe I'm experiencing this loss, this pain, this problem. I have to handhold somebody through this. I have to carry somebody through that. I've had to do a lot of these things. And then later, it turns out that those experiences that I thought were just pointless pieces of suffering were good references for somebody else, because I could say, look, you know what? This is what I went through already. Really? Okay, you've already been through this.
The only pointless suffering is that which we don't learn from.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Yeah, there is no such thing.
Well, but again, you know, if you asked, if you went back in time and you looked at 20-year-old me as opposed to 50-year-old me and said, hey, you know why you're going through this? I would probably take a swing at you.
I hear you. Somebody would have told me I'd be me today or that, okay, whatever, crazy person.
Yeah, a 30-year-old me would probably still take a swing at you. A 40, maybe not. But I'm just saying, you know, like, just get away from me. I cannot believe I'm going through this. You know, like, and that's the headspace I was in. But later on, as I said, context, it turns out that it actually is something that has been helpful. And not just to one person. Sometimes
always.
One person. But it's
those,
like,
those breakdowns are meant to be breakthroughs in that understanding that brings you to the fullness of your true divine innate wisdom. Okay, so if we stop resisting these so-called terrible times and we welcome them, okay, I get it, this sucks on a material level, that's cool, but thank you for the lesson. What am I supposed to learn here? And look at it like a school. I'm telling you, these dark times are less and less, but dark times, I want to talk about dark night of the soul.
Okay.
These are necessary and evolutionary, and you will, you know, people have made like ascension sound like it's easy. Again, all you have to do is drink some ayahuasca or smoke some DMT or, you know, and that, or this planetary alignment's gonna happen and everyone's just gonna wake up, or, you know, that's not happening. It's not gonna happen. You're not gonna be, like, picked off and brought off to some heavenly dimension. None of that is going to happen, okay? True ascension is taking responsibility for our path and graduating from the lessons, okay? Because if you notice, I'm sure, like, if I can look back on my history, my early history, I repeated the same lessons over and over and over and over until I'm like, oh, wow. And then now I can move on to other lessons. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's anyone that can deny that when they don't heal that thing within them, it doesn't matter who you date. It doesn't matter what costume they're wearing or their face or their accent. They're still the same person until you healed those issues that brought about the first bad relationship, right? So it's us. We are responsible for our own growth. We are our own superheroes. We are our own God. We are our own healer. We are our own shaman. We are our own judge. We are our own everything. We are it. And every single religious text tells you that in one form or another, mm-hmm. right? So it doesn't matter what you believe, even if you believe all religions are man-made and, you know, therefore untrustworthy, like myself, or not. It doesn't matter. It's still the same thing. The truth is the truth no matter what, or what name, or what religion. And the truth is you are way beyond the five senses, and you don't need a master, and you don't need an owner, and you are way bigger than you were ever led to believe. And everything you see in movies, you are capable of. Everything we've talked about, or that you heard in that audio clip, that with my children being grilled by somebody who, you know, clearly that was not staged, right, Chuck?
Right.
You know, he was genuinely questioning the rumors and this and that at the time, and I'm glad that happened now, and I'm glad that he asked him back to the phone to ask this other stuff, because that was stuff that people would use to prove that I'm delusional, right? In fact, Michael Badnarek just passed. Good friend of mine. I love that man. Top-notch, class act. They even would call into his show just to slander me because of things like that, right? Because all this supernatural stuff, that's kooky or delusional.
Fair enough. We do have a caller, and we could have others. 319-527-5016 if you're hearing me about 25 minutes after 9 p.m. Eastern on the 16th day of August, 2022. If you're hearing me then, I'm live. If not, I'm not. So, but you could call in if you're hearing me then. 319-527-5016. And, I'm just gonna let this caller at you and, see what has to be said here. I'm going with the flow, and we got about, 34 more minutes anyway. And, we'll probably close out the show on time, just so you know. But, here we go, Christy. You ready?
Ready or not.
There you go. Okay, so you're on the air.
Yeah, the Spent One has entered the building. What's up, guys? It's Spent Kent. Been listening to the show. Pretty cool. I just wanted to come out and say right now, I went to the doctors today, and I didn't get the report I was hoping for, but it could have been a lot worse. But I'm kind of going through this little funk right now. I'm just kind of down in the dumps a little bit because I know things have got to change for me. I can't do things the way I've done things in the past. You know, I'm 52 now. My birthday was a little over a week ago. And, you know, I got to make some changes and be okay with it and actually do it if I'm going to be around it for any length of time. Mm. I gotta start healing this liver. So, and I'm still young enough to be able to heal up and get some more years. So, but definitely changes got to be made, and it's just a little depressing, but it's also at the same time exciting. So I'm keeping a positive attitude. So, I just want to get that off my chest right off the bat. Life just precious. So I'm gonna keep trying to stick around as long as I can.
Did you say your name is Spent
Kent? Definitely major changes coming in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, just call me Kent. Spent Kent's just my gimmick name or whatever you want to call it.
Spent Kent. I love that.
Fired up on the radio.
I love that. And I love to hear that you're, you know, trying to make changes and care about yourself. And if there's any way I can help, I would be happy to.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I just gotta, you know, basically mentally get in the mode I need to do to get this done and get it done right. And it's just a change of lifestyle. I've already changed from by far the way I used to be, you know, the way I partied in the day and everything. And just now it's gotta be little to none at this point. And, definitely, a lot of changes. And,
Well, do you know about
realization? It's like, yeah, thank.
Yeah,
life just caught up with me. You know, it's
I got 52. You. Do you know Christy Aphrodite, dude?
Dude, I do know the name. I think we might have been on the air a couple of times, maybe even on a Friday night show or something.
That might have happened, but you know, she
it
does.
It was like a full house where there's a bunch of people on, and I think she might have been on at least one of them.
Yeah, well,
I remember in the past couple of years.
To make you aware of what it is she does, you know, she does a lot of advice for natural healing and things like that.
Yes.
If you ever looked at mytrueessence.net or ChristyAphrodite.com, definitely suggest you go look at the two websites. Literally, she helps people who are changing up what it is they're doing and trying to naturally apply things to their health. Okay, this is what Christy does. So interesting, yeah. You chose to call in tonight. And you know, look, I don't know what the report was from the doctor or whatever, but you know, if we spend a bit of time drinking sometimes, and you've spent a little time doing that. A little harm comes to the liver. It just does. Probably there's a couple other things going on, you know. And I urge you to take a look at some of the stuff that Christy has put out there for free for people to show them how to improve their health. I'm being as generic about this as possible, Christy. I don't know if you can count that.
I'll go to Christy after the ID and check out the website at, you know, after the show.
Yeah, please do.
Look into things.
Because, you know,
check it out, definitely.
I guarantee you she could steer you in a direction or two that would do you a lot of good. That's all I'll say about that, because, of course, you know, nothing here is medical advice or whatnot. But, there's a lot of proven studies about a lot of things that Christy could suggest to a guy like you, just so you know.
Yeah. I'm doing the, you know, they're going to send me to a nutritionalist. Another thing is they took my blood sugar. It was at 140. Right, mm-hmm. And the last time it was 127, and I think if it's over 126, they're going to call you a diabetic, which whatever that means, I was pre-diabetic or whatever. So
I have an article about that.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't feel any different than I did yesterday, but they're classifying me as a diabetic now. So
I have an article about that.
So there's different things they want me to try. I'm open up for any ideas and see what I can figure out that works for me and to keep going, you know.
Okay.
So I'm totally cool with it.
All right. Well, Christy's saying she has an article about that. Are you putting it in the chat, Christy?
I did.
Okay. Well,
there's a, cool. Yep, that's probably enough to get started with. And yeah.
Well, you know, Kent, you do enjoy doing research and stuff. And this is a worthy topic, your own health, to go ahead and do some research about. So I would suggest checking out that article and follow through. And, find the solutions fit you, yeah. So, anyways.
Yeah, I'll definitely take a look at everything, because this is new territory for me again. It's basically changing who I am or who I've been for a long time. And almost the sense it's like time to grow up, Spin Kent, you're dying if you don't, you know. So I got to just basically not change who I am, but just change the way I'm living now and doing things.
Well, if you change your behaviors, you will change who you are. That's a guarantee.
Yes.
You know, and it's a good thing. It's not, you know, a lot of people go, oh, I got to limit what I'm doing. And, you know, don't take it that way. You just got to go into a different direction if you want a different result. I mean, that's the attitude,
yeah.
Right? And, I mean, you
exactly.
know, stop me if I'm wrong, Christy, but I mean, this is the way to really internalize it is like, look, I want a different result from what it is I'm looking at. So therefore, I change my actions. I'll change the reactions.
Right. And so I'm putting some links in the chat at ocelli.com, listen live link. And so I have overcome diabetes and some other things. So I just put related topics, the diabetes and depression and check it out, and yeah, I've got tons of videos and stuff, and that's kind of what I do, so.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll check them out. Definitely. I've seen you got, like, a bunch of them popping up there, so.
Yep, that's it. I'm done, unless you ask about something else, and I'll find another link.
Well, there you have it. And, indeed, Chris is talking about his health being, well, you know, look, I'm not going to share any of his information unless he wants to call in, but Chris, it might not be a bad idea for you to read some of the same stuff that, she's dropping there for Kent. Just saying. Take a look at it. Again, you like doing research? Go for it. Research that.
Right. And I just want to say, like, these aren't just blogs I wrote or made up. I have all of the Department of Them's data that, I mean, it's their own words. So I put plenty of PubMed links, even on the products that I grow, harvest, produce, make myself, the same thing, dozens of links, because I want people to be educated. I also want to address, there's a comment in the chat that says, I've heard taking cinnamon in tablet form will cure diabetes. And so my approach to health is not what can we take, it's what can we take away. And cinnamon, first of all, the best approach to health should be to erase the middleman. Why would you take a cinnamon in a tablet when you can just buy the powder or the stick, number one? Number two, if somebody's on a certain medication, that could be potentially harmful. So there is no blanket cure for anything or anyone. But the closer you get to removing the middleman, right? Don't eat garlic pills, eat garlic. Don't eat, you know, cinnamon pills, eat cinnamon, you know,
sneak
your medicine in your food and, you know, unprocessed as much as possible, homemade as much as possible. And you know what? Bless your food. Like we started off the show talking about our magic wands, Chuck. Even if all you have is poisoned food, you don't need to feel bad. You don't need to feel, oh, I'm a failure because I can't have organic everything. Guess what? Nobody can. But you can bless that food. You can use your magic wands. Do turn it into medicine no matter what it is, because again, nature, you are smarter than man, period. We are nature. We're interchangeable. So we can overcome that. And then another thing, if you are concerned about pesticides or stuff like that, you can put your poison produce in a sink with either vinegar or lemon essential oil.
Vinegar in the water.
Or lemon essential oils, which is known to dissolve petrochemicals.
Mm.
So
fair enough, but always, yeah, but always remember to check with the if you're taking medications and stuff, you got to always check interactions for everything. We've talked about on this show that, you know, even something as seemingly harmless as grapefruit juice could be a problem depending on what medications you might be on. A lot of people are on heart medications, stuff like that. And indeed, there is citrus fruits that you can't even eat if you're on that medication. So at all times, check interactivity with things that are already in your system. And again, with cinnamon or anything that's natural, you got to always check the interactions.
I just want to reiterate what we should be asking ourselves before that, again, is not what we can take, but what can we take away? Mm-hmm. What are we doing that's causing it? If you're sitting around eating Snickers bars and Doritos and saying, oh, well, I have diabetes, what can I take? Dude, you know what I'm saying? So that's where the self-responsibility comes in. So it's what we need to ask first, what can we stop doing? Then we can start looking at what we can start implementing, right? There's people that call me and they have issues and they're like, oh my God, what can I buy? What can I take? I'm like, dude, you know, I'll ask a couple questions about their diet and then they answer one. I'm like, well, do me a favor. Can you just stop that for 2 weeks and let me know what happens? Okay. Yeah. And then 2 weeks later, the problem's gone. So,
well, sometimes it is a matter of just simple subtraction. Where, look, you know, he's talking about his sugar level climbing up. Kent talked about that. And indeed, even if he was not eating Snickers bars, something obvious like that, could be something else. You know, a lot of people forget about the sugar they added to their coffee, or they forget about the way that your body processes beer, or, you know, so
the
on and so forth.
In your mixed drinks, when you mix it with Coke, you know, when you mix some vodka,
there you go,
or Sprite, or whatever else you got it.
Right.
Yeah, the sodas, you know, they add up when you have a bunch of drinks. It all adds up. Something
in
a total life change.
On soda. Okay. Yeah. No. But even, you know what? Look, some things, even just removing the soda and interchanging it with water, or if you want to go a step up, putting some dandelions or clover in your yard in that water and call it a tea or whatever you want, or just grabbing a couple of those leaves in your yard and even putting them on your burger. I don't care, you know, but most of the time, changes like that, a few leaves a day can make a big difference in one's health after is determined all of everything else, contraindications, medications, history, allergies, etc.
Well, here's another thing to consider, just came to my mind, is sometimes the dyes in food believe it or not, are causing a reaction where, technically speaking, there's no sugar in the product or there's not much, but the dye or the preservative otherwise is creating something, like in the case where you have like a complex carbohydrates which are being processed, they turn into sugar. Okay, so you're not adding sugar directly, but you're causing an addition of sugar in your system based on that, right? So, you know, look, if you're eating tons and tons of pasta, that's another thing that can be causing, and look, a lot of us do because it's an accessible food. And I got a vowel at the end of my name.
That's it right there, man. You nailed it.
You know, so, see, but there's the problem. It's like, okay, so you're eating noodles in your soup, and you're eating spaghetti, and you're eating, and it's because it's affordable, but when your body processes that, it's processing not only just the food itself, but the way it's created. You have bleached flour, okay, which is a problem. Or could be a problem depending on your system. Some people can eat it up all day and it's fine. Your body burns it, but not everybody works the same. No one size fit all situations really happen. Everybody's a little different. So you got to look at what you're putting in. Or am I off track here, Christy?
No, absolutely. And you know, everyone is individual, right? So when people ask health stuff these days, I just kind of have to say, well, this is what I would do. But if you don't have the same diet and background and lifestyle I do, don't take my advice because some of, you know, it might hurt. So yeah, there's our diet that we're eating. There's our diet that we're drinking. There's our diet that we're consuming by listening to, watching, sharing our time and energy, right? Mm-hmm. So all of, we're consuming, you know, food or sustenance all the time, right? So it's not just the physical food that we're eating, although that is a big part, right? Mm-hmm. And so
yeah, that's a huge part.
Yeah, and you know, the food thing.
Years of it and years of alcohol, and it just all adds up and catches up with you. For me, it's like I said, it's definitely a lifestyle change I need to make. And with diet, with alcohol, everything, you know, I smoke, I got to chill on that. There's, you know, the list goes on, but, you know, I'm positive about doing it. I'm ready, you know, I'm ready to do it, and it has to be done. I want to stick around longer. So, you know, even if I achieve all this, I could, you know, die tomorrow, get hit by a truck. Tomorrow's never given.
Right.
But I just try right now to tell people, like, they get stuck in strife and things. It's like, you know, live, you know, make the best of today. Tomorrow's never given. You know, be happy to be alive. And
that's right.
The bottom line is, no matter how long I'm here, right now, for the first time in, you know, not the first time in my life, but, you know, I'm at peace, I'm at balance, and I'm happy to be alive. So I'm going to have to take these steps, change a lifestyle to keep it going, and that's what I'll do. So
there you go.
Awesome. And you know what? I just want to encourage you to, you don't have to change everything overnight, right? Baby steps lead to lasting change. And you know, just get one thing down right now, go a few weeks, and when that's habit, then you can change the next thing or add the next thing or take away the next thing, right? And just do it slow like that. Like, I didn't go from a wheelchair with my children feeding and clothing me to this in one day or one week or one year. So be gentle with yourself.
Yeah.
As long as you're doing anything, you're doing enough, okay? Every little step is better than every step you don't take or talk about. So just, you're okay with that one thing, master that, go to the next, and pat yourself on the back, and give thanks to your body for putting up with whatever abuse for 52 years, right? And still holding up, and your feet still carrying you, and you can still see and hear and smell.
I got feet problems too. I got problems there. So,
right,
yeah,
I got a bad right foot. It's a disabled foot. I mean, it's been broken bunch of times from an old motorcycle accident from 30 years ago. And it's another thing that's catching up with me, and it, you know, it's kind of messed me up with exercise. So that's another problem. I got to get back into exercise and getting back to what I used to do. And,
so do you want me to do what I do right now?
It is a change of lifestyle.
Right. So do you want me to do what I do right now, or should I be polite and just not say anything?
Well, no.
That's not a trick question. No, that's not a trick question. I was trying to say, so Spirit wants me to say some things, but at the same time, you've given me limited information, and I don't want to say anything that's not welcome. But if you want me to put a couple things together based on what you said, I can. I don't know. Can I say some things?
It's okay. I mean, I understand. You're probably going to say what I'm agreeing with. You know, so
maybe not though.
Maybe not. Let's take a shot at it. I think he can handle it.
Yeah,
to be honest with you.
Like I said, say what you. It's all good.
So I've only heard a couple things. I don't know anything about you or anything or whatever, but you mentioned liver, diabetes, and foot. So first of all, liver is where we hold our repressed anger. Feet, when we injure our feet, that's where we are having problems moving forward. And diabetes is where we have lost the sweetness in life. So I'm going to ask you to ask yourself when you go to bed, what anger am I, what did I, you know, trying to be nice in society, but you're angry over something that's keeping you from moving forward and you lost the sweetness of life. So basically, you need to find out what that is that makes your soul smile, cry with joy, and feel like true gratitude, and whatever you've been holding in. You know, I want you to feel safe to talk about that with yourself or God or whoever you talk to or even another person. But those things, just with the little bit you told me, that's going to be more, that'll be a bigger key to your particular healing than, say, eating or drinking like a nettle tincture and dandelion, which I would highly advise, because as we talked about earlier, Chuck, with the parasites and fungus and all of that stuff, how what works for the body also works externally, right? As within, so without. So we can also work on the repressed anger by healing the organ, or vice versa. We can heal the organ by working on the repressed area. So anyways, just to throw some herbs out there that may help liver and diabetes and things, and this is all proven on PubMed.gov, like fig leaf, passion flower, nettles, clovers, dandelions, plantains, and those are just things that are commonly found in people's yards, right? So, yeah, sorry if that was invasive, but I just want it because, again,
not really. I mean,
isn't what we can take. It's healing the trauma that brought it to our attention in the physical in the first place.
There you go.
It's a little different. I have dandelion tea, organic tea or whatever, that I haven't been drinking that I should have been drinking.
It can't help you in the package, buddy.
I gotta make some tea. But the anger thing, it's not suppressed anger, it's balanced. I'm balanced. You know, you got a good wolf and a bad wolf. Well, which one are you, the one you feed? I feed the good wolf, but they're both there. I'm balanced. I'm cool there now. I'm at peace of mind. 52 years, you know, I've seen and done a lot. So I'm all good with all that. The foot is an old accident that it's coming back, and it's been broken like in 17 different places. And, you know, I'm still walking around. It's just, you know, as time goes, it's gonna do its thing. Arthritis, you know, and everything else.
But, right, but these are messages.
You know, I just got to be careful with it.
Right, but they are messages, and healing whatever it is that brought it into existence is sometimes even more powerful than, say, taking an herb or changing a diet.
I forgot to press enter. I forgot to press enter in the chat room because I was going to type the same thing as you about why eat the capsule, by the way, Christy, because somebody brought up the cinnamon powder in the capsule and why add the capsule to the mix if you can just take the powder.
Yeah, they just put it in, but why? Just eat it.
Yeah, no, but I typed the same thing. I forgot to hit send. I saw you sent it, and I went, oh, right, never mind, and I just erased it. But I meant to hit send. Because look, that's the other thing though. Again, go as directly as possible with the natural thing that you're trying to add. But again, as Christy said, subtract first, try and figure out what is doing the harm and, not just the stuff you're eating, but, the rest of the stuff you're eating, whatever it is you're taking into your head or your heart. These things are also necessary to, subtract from, right? So what you choose to internalize, you will externalize. Okay. It's just,
and we do it unknowingly though, too, Chuck. Like, and just because I said liver represents anger, I'm not saying you're an angry person. In fact, it's quite the contrary. You're probably the best.
So you were onto something there.
No, cause you're probably the best.
I used to be when I was a lot younger. So
yeah. So
I've embraced
and now,
it and accepted it now. It's like gone, but yeah, I used to be. I mean, that I was a heavy drinker and a partier and everything else. So, you know, I was an angry young man at one time, and even into my 30s. But and then hell, even into my 40s.
Well, let me ask you.
It's probably only been like 5 years since I've actually been able to figure this out.
Let me ask you what'll sound like a very strange question coming from me, Kent. Okay. Did you ever willfully release yourself from that anger you had earlier in your life? Did you ever have that conversation with yourself or source or whatever it is you select as the higher individual or group that you can have a conversation with? Did you ever release yourself from that anger of the past? Willfully, intentionally?
Yeah, and there's only one way to do it.
Okay.
There's only one way to do it. You have to forgive. You got to have forgiveness.
Well, that could be...
You got to forgive yourself. You got to forgive the world. You got to forgive everything.
Well, that could be part of it.
The bad things that are there. And just,
Yeah, that could be part of it. But sometimes, I got to tell you, as somebody who spent a good amount of time being angry earlier on in life, I also had to realize that I had to release myself from any of those obligations that I thought I had in that anger, especially if it was righteous. You know, and I had to release myself from that. And believe it or not, as goofy as that might sound to some people and new agey as it might sound, it was extremely healthy for me to do that. To just have that conversation with, let's say self or higher source or higher self or whatever it is you want to call it, to have that conversation to release me from any of those obligations as well. So I don't know if you know, maybe that's not part of your process, but it was part of mine. I had to let go.
Well, I mean, it kind of worked out that way with the whole forgiveness thing. I mean, that was releasing for me. So I think we're pretty much talking about the same thing. It's just the way I'm wording it. But yeah,
it could be
definitely something you have to do.
It could be.
If you're going to be at peace, you have to be at peace. You got to understand how to be at peace and what it takes to get there. And for me, it definitely was just forgiveness. You can't, you know, don't take any negative, you know, it's there. You understand the negativities in the world and everything, but instead of it getting you up and getting going or ego or anything like that, it's just you gotta forgive it. You can't, you know, like it's like holding a grudge. You know, you don't want to be like that. You know, you gotta.
Yeah, I just found that
forgive to heal.
Right. Well, look, maybe in the process of forgiveness, you were able to do the same thing, and that's cool. It's just I had to do both. I had to do each thing separately, because forgiveness all by itself, I still had this idea that, you know what, though, I had some righteous anger that was just correct. And that correct anger is not something that you want to hold on to either, because it's not serving you. You know, for me, this is the conversation I had with me. You know, and I had to have that conversation in order to let go of a bunch of stuff that actually turned out to just be weight on me. So, I guess you could do that through the process of forgiveness, but I actually had to go through an additional step. So I was just curious about that because, I guess I did too.
I mean, I kind of did it like at the same time, but it's still two steps.
Hmm.
I mean, in order for me to release that and everything, you know, at the end of the day, it was, you know, forgiveness that did it.
Okay.
That really was the final, you know what I mean? The final thing.
Yeah, fair enough. And look, I don't challenge your process. I'm just, because yours could be completely different from mine. But it's just a thing that I thought of and just, I don't know. I just felt inspired to relate that to you. And who knows, maybe I'm actually not relating it to you. I'm relating it to somebody else listening. So, either way.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. That's good.
Yeah, so, okay, excellent. So I just wanted to check on that.
I have a philosophy on anger.
Uh-huh.
Because clearly I was pretty mad at the world, at a lot of people, everything and everyone. And I learned that you become what you fight.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of fighting my anger and suppressing my anger, I learned healthy outlets. For example, I did post a link in the Ocelli chat. It's called Making Friends with Anger. And I saw it for what it was to me, and that was the catalyst for change, the mm-hmm. fire that made me, anything I ever did well or succeeded at my life was birthed from anger, the seed that made me mad enough to say no. So I'm not suggesting kicking puppies or road rage. But if you paint or box or whatever, you know what I mean? So suppressing it is
anger is
what,
a gift. I mean, it's to stand up against authority in the same
right.
way.
Right. And
know,
that's why
gift,
there's
but
so
it,
much.
You gotta embrace it.
Right. That's why they don't want you to feed, you know, they basically medicate it. But so I'm not, you know, people kick puppies when they repress anger. Not when they're finding healthy outlets for it. And healthy outlets for it are, say, starting a show, right? Or starting a project or a community upliftment organization or building a food forest or my anger with being poisoned for almost 40 years. Now I'm a medicine maker and grow all of my own stuff so I don't have to rely on people that I know are trying to poison me. You know, Project Love Your Neighbor, the free school, like everything, working with the whole, all of that was birthed from anger. So we can turn it around, radio, poetry, boxing, whatever it is, and make it something positive.
No, certainly. Yeah. Look, it can be a great motivator.
It's part of who you are. I mean,
yeah,
it's part of you, who you are. It's still there. I mean, it's going to be there. And sometimes, like you said, it's a motivator. It's part of what you need sometimes to get what needs to be done. And let me tell you something. Anybody kicking puppies in front of Spent Kent is going to see what anger is all about. That's why I'll go ahead and let that anger go, because they get an ass whipping. They keep kicking puppies in front of me. So,
right.
But yeah, I mean, again, that's where it's there, it's balanced, it's supposed to be there for that purpose.
Right.
So,
there's a time,
you know,
and
a point,
place
right?
for everything. And here's how the new age and all the spiritual online community gets you. And that's why there are so many vampires, Chuck, around lately, you know, because they get you to blame you, right? And, oh, no, well, I'm an empath, so I'm supposed to be kind to people who are trying to eat me and kill me and devour me and, you know, and don't fight back because that's bad and you're doing something wrong to bring it on. So there's all this guilt and shame and all of this stuff that's tricking people into inviting and allowing vampires to stay in their life, thus manifest in physical disease, right? Because there is no physical disease without it starting in mental, spiritual, emotional first, period, end of story. And even these things we call accidents, like me cutting off my finger and all of this stuff, they're not accidents. They're messages that we're not listening to. And the degree of trauma is directly correlated to how much we're listening or not. Right? And that's why people have to, like, say hit bottom, or, you know, be on their deathbed before they want to change, or in jail, or, you know, things, or cut their finger off, or whatever, right? Right. So.
Well, and there you have it. ChristyAphrodite.com, MyTrueEssence.net, and we're out of time.
Damn. So, how'd that happen?
That happened real fast. But anyway, the Ocelli Effect is done for tonight. Again, thanks to Christy Aphrodite, our only caller tonight. Spent Kent, appreciate all you guys.
Much love, everybody.
Love that.
There we go. Remember, I'm merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. See you tomorrow.